Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com in studio with us. But joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Clay Byersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TonOfClayton. Clay, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. What's up, boys?
Oh, you know, we're just sitting here talking about what a great American Daniel LaRusso is. Well, we'll get to that a little bit. We got bigger things we got to get to before we start breaking down the Karate Kid.
And oh, man, I'm excited for that.
Let's get to the news of the day at Busch Stadium. John Mozeliak has been promoted to a position that never existed until today. He is now the president of baseball operations. And then we have a new general manager, Mike Gersh. He is the assistant GM. Well, he was the assistant GM, and now he is a full-fledged general manager. I'm not sitting here saying that these are bad moves or wrong moves, but the timing seems a little weird, considering that the team isn't doing all that well, and a lot of people are blaming John Mozeliak for how bad the team is on the field. But, hey, you know what? Let's give him a promotion.
Yeah, it's really the only odd part about it, and you alluded to it, is the timing of it, obviously, just because, you know, the club is not doing very well. The Cardinals, you know, they see the Cubs and the Theo, I guess, kind of mantra that's going on is, you know, Theo is really the guy in charge in Chicago, and, you know, he's got a GM under him who more so handles probably the day-to-day and small ball type of activity. But to me, I saw this move today as kind of a look towards the future. John Mozeliak, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's a good GM. But I think, you know, from a financial standpoint, from an overall baseball standpoint, they want him to be in more of a position of power. Not that being a GM is, you know, comes with zero power. But they want him thinking, you know, big picture stuff. And I think this move will allow him to kind of focus on that. In terms of free agents, in terms of, you know, prospect development. And then you have your GM who takes care of the day-to-day things and can really take a larger role within the organization.
But doesn't the timing of it seem kind of weird, though? Like, why is this being announced now? Why wasn't this done at the very beginning of the year? Or at least wait until the season is over and then make the announcement? You know, right now, you know, a week and a half before the All-Star break just seems kind of strange to me.
Yeah, it's odd in the sense that the timing, you know, isn't great. You'd rather have a club, you know, winning. I think we'd be having a complete different conversation if the Cardinals, you know, were 10 games up in the division right now, and everyone would be applauding John Mozeliak, you know, and Bill DeWitt for, you know, these moves made today. But Derek Gould from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch kind of alluded to it earlier in the day before the press conference that actually happened. This is something that I think the Cardinals have been working on for a little while. It's not something that just came up within the last, you know, week or two, and they said, hey, let's give John Mozeliak a bigger role in the organization. I think this move has been in the works for a while. And like I said, with the Cardinals, you know, kind of teeter-tottering in the division and in baseball in general, they felt the move was most appropriate today.
Is this move that happened today, is that good news or bad news for Mike Matheny, or just doesn't matter?
I don't think it really matters. I think what matters most for Mike Matheny is wins and losses on the field and how he conducts himself, you know, within the clubhouse and organization. It's no secret to the Cardinal fan base that John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny, you know, have a good relationship. I think John Mozeliak has kind of put the hammer down and said, hey, kid, back up a little bit. This is still my show. I'm going to run it, and you are the manager of the ball club, and I will put people where, you know, they need to be played, and it's your job to play them. You know, if you kind of think of it as a money ball type of situation where Brad Pitt kind of came in and said, hey, you know, my job is to get the players. It's your job to play them, you know, where I see fit. But really, you know, John Mozeliak, I think, is a really good GM. I think the fact that, you know, he's in a position of more power now will allow him to focus on bigger picture type things and really kind of take, you know, I hate to compare it, but take that Theo Epstein role in the division. He's going to become more of an iconic, iconic figure within the organization. I think he's really going to just love focusing just on big picture stuff and letting his GM now kind of take the reins of the more day-to-day operations of the club.
I always thought there was this tension between John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny, though, because, like, as you said, there's been many times when those two have kind of, like, squared off, and Mozeliak has always won. Case in point, when Oscar Tavares, you know, that was the Cardinals' top prospect, and Mike Matheny wasn't playing him because he had an aversion to playing younger players when he didn't have to. He was always running Alan Craig out there in right field when Alan Craig was either clearly injured or ineffective. And they, you know, Mozeliak finally had to step in and traded Alan Craig and John Kelly, or Joe Kelly, rather, to Boston. So there's been times when those two have, I think they've clashed heads and seemed like Mo's always won.
Yeah, and it kind of gets overblown to me a little bit. Look, every general manager, every president, and their manager, respectively, go through tiffs. It's, you know, for us, it's new in St. Louis because we've gotten used to winning all these years, and we've gotten used to having successful ball clubs. I think it's more magnified when the bad things start happening and the club, you know, starts to lose and not look so hot. But every general manager and their manager, respectively, have tiffs. And obviously, you know, it's just being a little bit more magnified this year because the club isn't doing so well.
Let's turn to the play on the field. The Cardinals are one blown save away from coming home from a three-game sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix, where they've won like 24 of 34 games, so they're really dominant at home. The Cardinals almost swept the games there and then had a 10-4 victory yesterday at Arizona. Is this something that they can build on, or what did you make of that three-game series?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. We downtrod the Cardinals, and, you know, everyone's just kind of low on them right now, but they're still within, what, three or four games of the division, so every series win and every, you know, series sweep is pivotal, whether it's in Arizona, whether it's in LA, whether, you know, it's in Chicago, wherever it is. If you can be a ball club that can go into a place where a team is especially playing really hot and take three out of three, then I think you're doing something right on the field. You know, they're obviously, you know, trending up right now with a couple wins in the last couple nights, but it'll be nice if they can snag another one in Arizona and head back home.
Clay Beiersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. To me, what the frustrating thing is that you saw how well they, even in the game that they lost, they played well. You know, they had timely hitting. They were scoring a lot of runs. The starting pitching was pretty effective. Other than the blown save, the bullpen was pretty effective. The defense wasn't great, but they didn't make any errors. They didn't have any base running blunders. It's kind of like, okay, why can't you play like this, you know, on a consistent basis throughout the entire season? You know, what's going on? Why do you have to frustrate us like this?
Because that's sports in general. And your darling favorite team isn't going to do everything that you want them to do all the time. Look, there's no question that the problems that the Cardinals may have had for the last 2-3 years are coming under the microscope more and more this year. But like you said, it's been nice the last couple nights that, you know, for the most part, they played really productive and really solid baseball. The key for that will be just, you know, sustainment. Can they sustain that, you know, for series after series and really make a push in the standings? And, you know, we'll see where this club is at the end of July.
Do you find it odd that every single time they send a player down, whether it's Colton Wong, whether it's Randall Grichuk, whether it's Aledmys Diaz, whenever they come back, they're better than what they were whenever they went down? How come the instruction that they're getting down the minor leagues can't be done up here on the major league level?
Yeah, it's a little bit it's a little bit questionable. It's a little bit frustrating in the fact that, you know, every time a player does go down, and whether it's Aledmys Diaz or Randall Grichuk, Colton Wong, you know, they come back and seemingly, you know, play better. I think there's a couple things to that. Obviously, it's a tip of the cap to you, you know, the managing and the coaching that's going on in your minor league system. Obviously, you know, from a general manager standpoint, you love that because it shows that the system you do have in place in terms of minor league affiliates is working, and, you know, that they're teaching the right things and the things that are making players productive. But for me, what I see when players go down is it's a break. The daily rigors of being on a major league roster, having to travel all over the country, you know, first world problems there, but it's a break from the major league, you know, kind of microscope, because when guys do come to the league, they're put on another level. They're professional athletes, you know, a lot is expected of them day in, day out, and sometimes that pressure can get to players, especially, you know, young players like Colton Wong, Randall Grichuk, and 11 SDS. And sometimes, you know, they can't handle that, and sometimes they just need to go down and kind of retool their skill set, figure out the things they're good at, and build on those type of things. So for me, it's not so much about the coaching instruction that is going on in the minor leagues. It's the just overall break that they're giving the young players. It allows them to, you know, kind of go down to Memphis, go down to Springfield, take a deep breath, kind of reassess where they're at, you know, within their season, reassess where they're at in their career, and reassess themselves as a ball player. And I think, you know, when they spend a couple weeks down there and can do some things really well, it's only going to give them confidence. And I think that's what they carry back to the major league roster.
They just put this this number on the graphic on the TV here in the studio. For the month of June, 1,070 home runs hit in the month of June, setting the Major League Baseball record. The Cardinals are 11th in the National League with 92 on the year. That devoid of power seems to be really hindering the Cardinals when it seems like everybody else is hitting home runs and they aren't. Can you see them making a trade for an impact bat this at the trading deadline, whether they're in it or out of it, and who do you think that impact bat could be?
Yeah, it's and you got to say, like, 11th out of all major league teams, it's not terrible. You know, you could be way worse. No, that
they're 11th in the National League, 11 out of 15.
Yeah, 11th in the National League, so maybe it's not that great from from that standpoint. But, you know, they could go out and get a power bat. To me, the biggest question is, okay, that power bat that you get, who does that say you're going to give up on, really, at the major league roster? Because, you know, obviously when you bring someone in, someone's going out. To me, they've got a plethora of young outfielders who are hitting really, really well in the minor leagues. I don't see them adding, you know, an outfielder unless it's a cornerstone guy, kind of like a Christian Yelich. You know, to where they can really build on him the next couple of years and form a new core group of players. To me, the most sense would be to add a bat that plays on the infield position, whether it be first base, you know, second base, or third base. I don't really see them going shortstop unless they found something super, super attractive. But once again, it'll be a really team-friendly contract. It'll be someone that they can build on, someone who's young and is just a bona fide superstar or about to, you know, become a superstar. And I think that's the move, if they make any, going forward.
Clay Byers-Dorfer of RedBirdDaily.com joining us right now on the Belmont Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. Okay, let's get to the discussion here. Clay Byers-Dorfer, you are a veteran. You are a veteran of this country's armed forces. You are a graduate. You pay your taxes. And as far as I know, you eat your steak rare, correct?
100%. I am 100% red, white, and blue, my friend.
Okay. And your assessment of Daniel LaRusso is American hero, correct?
Absolutely.
See, okay. And I would say that anybody who disagrees with you obviously hates America and hates his country's military.
I know. I hear Rocky drone in the background. But look, if you're going to downplay what Daniel LaRusso not only did for himself and Mr. Miyagi, and the great United States of America, I question you as an American and your morals and honestly what you just bring to the table as a human being.
What do you say to that, Rocky? Go ahead, Clay. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Let's let this card-carrying, you know, communist...
Listen, I won't be deterred by some newfangled 2017 version of McCarthyism right here. I will not let that happen. I will not kowtow like Walt Disney. I will not kowtow like the actor version of Ronald Reagan did. Here's the problem with your entire statement is that you are letting the premise go that he is a American hero in the first place, and therefore if anyone disagrees with that, they're not an American.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem with
what are you talking about? He's a New Jersey kid that overcame odds, had to move cross country with his mother who just is busting her hump as a waitress trying to live the American dream, and you're going to downplay his just development as a karate artist?
I am. Yes, I am. First of all,
Oh my God.
First of all, moving from New Jersey to California when you're 16 years old, I'm downplaying how difficult that actually is. Give me a break.
That's a car ride.
Give me a break.
He has a single mother, his deadbeat dad, who we will never know where that guy is at, probably smoking a cigarette behind a gas station right now. But you're gonna downplay a move for a 16-year-old kid across the country with a single mother living in a really crappy apartment. You're gonna tell me that's not the American dream?
No, I'm not saying his mom's not following the American dream. I would never go against single mothers. I am going against the whiny little New Jerseyans who continue to start fights and get their asses kicked, and then decide that they're going to whine, play the sad card. One thing to get the girl, then they're going to learn karate from some random dude who teaches you in really odd ways, while all the other kids are learning very structural correct karate down at the Cobra Kai, and then we get to the tournament. And the movie sets down that there's one rule in this entire freaking tournament, and to win the tournament, he breaks that one rule, and nothing happens. No referee comes in and decides to point out that fact or anything. So I'm not saying the kid didn't work hard. I am saying that he started all the fights that we see in the movie there that try to make him seem like he's being bullied, and he wins the tournament with an illegal kick to the face. I think we're giving him too much credit.
We're not giving him enough credit. That's the problem. What he did for American cinema and the American dream is 1,000 times more than you will ever do in your entire life, Rocky.
All I know is at the end of that movie, there was one person holding up that trophy and got the girl, and that was Daniel LaRusso. Deal with it, Matt Rocky.
I'm saying that you guys, unfortunately, were victims of the 1980s fervor of... The late 80s fervor around these underdog, real American hero stories. You were lied to by Hollywood that he was the hero, and then you let yourself believe it, despite the fact that all the evidence that Daniel LaRusso is the bully in the story is staring at you right in the face.
You know what your problem is, Rocchio, is you weren't the Daniel LaRusso in high school. You were the kid getting his ass kicked with a roundhouse to the face.
Daniel LaRusso gets his ass kicked.
What? Okay, so he's a rebel without a cause. That's also the American dream, right?
No, I'm pretty sure we were rebels with a cause.
Okay, well, my thing is, look, Rocchio, you can be jealous all you want of Daniel LaRusso and the fact that he won a super kick-ass karate tournament, got the hottest broad in school, and you were probably just the nerd on the soccer field getting beat up, and you didn't fight back. That's your problem.
I very smartly stayed away from the soccer field. I wasn't very good at soccer.
Well, you were on the bleachers then taking kickballs to the face.
There we go.
I just don't think we should give somebody. I don't think we should give somebody credit for being first of all being an instigator and then losing. That's first of all. If anything, that's not what America is about. If anything, we're about instigating and then winning with unbelievable force. America's not about starting fights with somebody who's going to kick your ass up and down the beach, despite the fact that you started the fight. Uh-oh, Nick Hand's coming in here with a refute. Burger seems happy with this, so I don't think this is going to go well for me.
It's not. Nick Hand, get him.
During the commercial break, I asked you who broke the radio. Who broke Allie's radio? That started it all.
Key point.
Daniel LaRusso breaks the radio, correctly.
He did not. It was Johnny.
You remembered wrong.
How does Johnny break the radio?
He picks it up and he throws it on the ground. He just picks it up and he goes grok on it.
Before this conversation, I was on Rocchio's side, but I'm officially back on the fence.
See, thank you. Welcome back to America, Giamatti. We'll let you back in.
Giamatti knows what's up.
Giamatti knows what's going on. There we go. What do you have to say for yourself, Matt Rocchio?
I have to say that Daniel LaRusso provoked.
Oh, my goodness.
Provoked Johnny. Johnny's the real hero. Johnny, I mean, here's the thing. Johnny's the title character. You want to talk about the Karate Kid? Johnny is the Karate Kid. I root for title characters when I watch movies.
If the radio thing doesn't work out for you, I do think you have a chance in Trump administration.
You guys, are you guys telling me that you don't root for the Terminator?
No.
A tear doesn't run down your eye when at that last moment his bright red eye blinks out? Don't root for the title character? You guys are crazy.
Rocchio goes to the casino and roots for the house. That's what Rocchio does. Rocchio goes, I go to Ameristar.
First of all,
I'm going to root for Ameristar because it says Ameristar up there at the top. I'm going to root for Ameristar to win.
We've talked about my gambling. We know I'm not rooting for the house.
You're right about that. Clay, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend. I know you're coming back home. Is that correct?
I am coming back home to St. Louis. St. Louis has missed me too much, and the people have spoken, and I need to make an appearance.
How long are you in town, sir?
I'll be in town for 4 or 5 days till through next Wednesday. So
okay,
if boys, got time? Let's link up.
Yeah, let's go to the, let's maybe go to the game on Tuesday on July 4th. How's that sound?
I love it, man. I love it.
All right, buddy, hit me up.
All right, sounds good. Have a good evening, guys.
Thanks, Clay. That is Clay Byersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton, and he is a great American.
American Patriot, Clay
Byersdorfer. There we go. He's an American Patriot, more so than what Matt Arakio is.
Okay, see, again, you framed that in just the most, just the worst way possible. And, I mean, just how dare you frame it that way? I was offended by the way you framed it. That's why I was scoffing in the background, because I was offended by the way you framed that, just because... that I disrespect his service to this country simply because I disagree with a movie about him? How dare you,
that's
Matt
how, that's
Berger.
How Sean Hannity does it.
That's, well. all these days I thought Berger was going for the opposite of Sean Hannity.
Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to get back into the NHL free agency with Nick Hand. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.